You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Time now for the roundtable. We bring in staff writers from ClevelandBrowns.com, both Kevin Jones and senior staff writer Andrew Gribble. Gentlemen, here we are, finally week one. The Browns getting ready to take on the Jets. What are you guys looking forward to the most this week, getting going on Sunday?
Just starting, Danny Shelton's going to start on this defense. It's going to change the way the run defense plays. I'm excited to see Brian Hartline. I think adding the Terrell Pryor in here has really motivated him to be a receiver that can get 800 to 900 yards, get in the end zone. The offense is going to throw the ball a lot more this year too. I wrote about it today. This team is not going to rely as much on running the ball as they did last year. We saw the second half of the season, couldn't run the ball, couldn't do anything on offense. If you can't run the ball this season, you have more people to throw to. So there's some changes with this Cleveland Browns team that I think for the better we'll see against the Jets.
Yeah, and I'm just interested in this offense versus defense matchup because, you know, you're going to this game right now with one healthy running back, it looks like. And this is a Jets defense that's missing Sheldon Richardson, but is still going to be pretty good at stopping the run. And we all know about their secondary. They're going to be pretty good at stopping the pass as well. So this is a tough opening matchup for the Browns offense. And I'll be interested to see how, you know, on top of Brian Hartline, how you incorporate all of these different wide receivers. Because we've seen all these guys play at some point throughout the preseason, but you haven't seen how John DeFilippo plans to use all of these guys within an entire game. So I'll be interested to see how much we see actually of Travis Benjamin out there after having such a good preseason, how much we see of Dwayne Bowe, even though he's a little bit down the depth chart compared to where we might have thought he was.
A lot down. Yeah. How about that?
But even though he's third on the depth chart, I would still think we're going to see a fair amount of him in this game. So that's why I think there's going to be a lot of wide receivers used throughout the game.
Guys, this in all intents and purposes should be a very exciting time as football season is already here. And I want both of your perspectives because, you know, you guys are obviously the writers for the Cleveland Browns. You have your ear to the streets. You guys are, you know, on social media using all those platforms to just gain knowledge about everyone in the NFL, but specifically the Cleveland Browns. And I just wondered, like, how much does past disappointment of a Browns fan determine their outlook on the 2015 season that hasn't even started yet?
I put a straw poll out there. I think it was a week ago. I said the Browns record will be blank, question mark. And the overwhelming majority was around 8-8, 9-7. So I think 65% of the fan base sees some improvement that has happened with Mike Pettine and his philosophies and a lot of young new players. I mean, 71 new players were in here for training camp as opposed to 2 years ago. So the philosophy has changed. But you're right, Matt. There's going to be that 35% that are Clevelanders that hang on. You got to show me. You got to prove it.
Gibbs.
And I don't blame them at all. They don't make this job bad for me either because they're realistic. I mean, they've heard the same song and dance over and over again. Until you prove it to them, they're not going to believe it. And Gribble, you're from here.
Yeah,
so
I think it's a total prove it mentality. And then when you have, you know, stuff like when the Phil Taylor release happens and people remember the draft from 4 years ago, I think it taints their current perspective. But I then think once Sunday rolls around and then you might, if you see something encouraging from this team in week one, I think then the opinion, then you'll be reminded, oh wait, this team really did upgrade on defense. Oh wait, this team probably is a little bit better at wide receiver. And then you see Josh McCown have a game like he maybe did against Tampa. You're like, oh, all right, this guy's pretty steady behind a good offensive line. So I think it's just a matter of being reminded about reasons to be encouraged instead of just reminded about stuff that happened in the past that's going to taint what you think about this current 2015 team.
Listen, do you want to draft Vince Bailey in the fourth round on a team that needs a receiver and have it not pan out? No. Do you want to trade Terrence West from the third round and get a conditional seventh? No, you don't. These are not good things, but ultimately the success of the 2015 Cleveland Browns is not predicated on Vince Bailey, nor is it predicated on Terrence West. And one of the sayings in the NFL is you cut your losses. Once you think something's a loss, you cut your losses and you move on. The Browns have done that in both of those cases.
Yeah, there's no sense to go ahead with a guy that you don't want, like that you don't think can help you win, just because it makes you look to the past, your 2014 draft, and think you missed on that guy. That's I think going forward, this we'll get to see a lot of Isaiah Crowell an opportunity that he hasn't had in last season.
Listen, for me, Terrence West is a distraction. I've had many veteran members say that you have to. It was an addition by subtraction here. It really was. It stinks to eat the draft pick like that, but like you guys are saying, it's about now. It's about, you can't look back at what a player entered the building in. It's about, and that was my stance on Justin Gilbert too. That was a message sent to him with Terrence West here, who had much more production. I mean, this team will get rid of you if you are not producing. And that means in the meeting room, that means anywhere.
Sure, guys. So I want your take now that we essentially we have probably 52 of the 53 guys that will be on this football team kind of like ironed out. Just want your overall takes on everything from, you know, signing, you know, three quarterbacks on the active roster now, EJ Bibbs making the team, Terrell Pryor making the team. Just your overall takeaway from this weekend's news on what the Cleveland Browns are ultimately going to look like this season.
EJ Bibbs should be playing to me. I mean, we'll start with him. That tight end room. I was shocked, Matt, to see four tight ends kept, and Pet said yesterday minimum was going to be three there, but we thought that Hauser and Bibbs were some of our 53 best. So I was a little surprised there and a little disappointed, because I want to see Bibbs on the field a lot, and I feel like he might be a guy that's inactive the first couple of weeks. I feel like he could be a difference maker in the passing game. Just glancing through the roster, and we've talked about it before, the depth is thin at outside linebacker. An injury to Kruger is going to be devastating there. So I don't know when you say it's ironed out, I think there's still going to be some more additions here added by Bill Kuharik and that staff this month. But to me, I want to see Bibbs on the field. That's my big takeaway. I was stunned to see Hauser also make it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, when you look at the position breakdown, even though on Saturday you announced 11 DBs, one of those is injured reserve designated return in Charles Gaines. So really starting the season with two less DBs, I think that shows they really like the guys that they have at those positions and feel kind of comfortable with that. The four tight ends was, again, surprising to me as well, because you know, it's not four guys that you see catching a ton of balls this year. I know Rob Hauser is brought in kind of as that change of pace, kind of down the field guy, but you don't look at that group and see just huge numbers receptions wise. But we'll see how John DeFilippo uses them in the offense. And then it's interesting now to see where this group stands with the running backs, with two guys on the 53. You wonder what that means for Sean Drone going into Sunday.
My boy.
If they'll need him. And then if it's just going to be kind of a wait and see right now with Duke Johnson. We know last year going through what Jordan Cameron went through, concussions are truly a day-to-day thing. He could feel great tomorrow, yep, and then all of a sudden things change Friday. So it's going to be kind of a wait and see all the way up until that Saturday when you can make that final transaction.
Do you think it's going to be Sean Drone getting called up? Do you think it's a veteran running back that they add into the mix here? What do you guys expect to have happen? And who do you think is kind of, because if you bring him up, somebody else has got to go.
I mean, we've had Fred Jackson and Ray Rice on the market for so long, and this team didn't pounce then. I mean, to me, it's obvious it's going to be Drone. Running back is a position, though, that Pet said.
That's your guy.
It's my guy. I argue that he might be on the 53-man roster. I'm not alone. Joe Thomas in the locker room yesterday, stunning. This guy saying that Sean Drone could be a number one running back behind the right offensive line. So I wasn't the only one seeing things about Sean Drone here. I think,
and I'll say I believe that any running back in the NFL could be a number one running back behind the right offensive line.
We'll see what happens in Dallas this year. Your theory could get proved wrong.
CJ Anderson.
I think Drone would be the short-term option at that kind of bring up, because I don't think you bring in a guy now to get ready for Sunday. But then potentially, if it's not working as well as you maybe thought it was, then you can explore. There's a lot of guys
on
the
Glenn
market.
Winston is going to be back maybe in 6 weeks, which is a guy that they certainly like a lot.
I mean, clearly the biggest opportunity going into Sunday for any player is
Isaiah
Crowell. I mean,
this is his chance.
His career high is 17 carries. He averaged 9 carries in 16 games last year. So he's probably going to get 20 carries Sunday. Hopefully he does.
I think he's got really a 3-game opportunity in those first 3 games to really cement himself as the guy.
And yeah.
One of them's a tough matchup. Two of them are pretty favorable with Tennessee and, of course, the Oakland Raiders.
And I think if you're looking for positions on where you might have to subtract one, if you bring up Drone, I would guess maybe the tight end position and the defensive line position. I mean, those are the ones.
I know,
where,
so two of our favorites, yeah, Billy Wynn and EJ Bibbs got those in, are the tough, you
those,
don't know.
Those are the tough decisions.
And the one, but, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, those are, I don't know, I can't really look at any other position group and say, you could probably safely take one away from
sure. And the one point that I wanted to make, you know, as why there's so much shuffling going to even continue to go on, you know, prior to the Jets game is because for those of you listening out there, the Cleveland Browns have to get, they essentially guarantee the 53 roster spots, their salaries, once they make the week one active roster. So any move that happens after the week 53, that player could be cut, but will receive his full payment from the Cleveland Browns for the entire season, and he'll have that one opportunity.
That's why you see guys get signed after week one.
So exactly. Wait, so quick question here. So then it's game by game you get paid for the rest of – so if we picked up Fred Jackson, quote-unquote, I know he's not there. We picked up a veteran running back.
You can sign him and cut – you can sign him and
you
cut
just pay him after the game.
Everything is prorated from that point moving forward.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So let me ask you guys this. We know that you have 53 guys on the roster. 46 are up on game day. The initial depth chart that came out today has Dwayne Bowe third on the depth chart. Now, I know that you can say he hasn't been – we haven't seen him in the preseason. He was injured, but you bring in a guy who's a, you know, a quote-unquote number one receiver. You don't really need to see him. You know what you've got. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for a while. He's listed as third on the depth chart. The starters are listed as Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins. Taylor Gabriel second behind Hawkins, and I think probably the first guy to go in three receiver sets, and Travis Benjamin behind Hartline. He'll play a lot, I think, as well. Dwayne Bowe is listed here as the third, and then Terrell Pryor as the fourth. Now, there's also Marlon Moore. You're likely only going to have – is it possible Dwayne Bowe's not even active for this game? Are you going to have six receivers active?
It's possible.
It all depends how you go into that game plan. If you feel like, you know, do you carry six wide receivers and only carry two tight ends, you know, so and not have all three of them up? Or is Malcolm Johnson, and maybe his role on special teams will have him up, but do you not carry a fullback if you feel strong about your single back running ability with two tight ends in that wing, or, you know, you situation with one of the guys being the move guy could play that fullback role?
No, Matt's making points here that the coaches are talking about. They have to game plan for the Jets. So
yes.
I'm asking you guys, is it smart to have Dwayne Bowe out there with Revis on him the whole time, or do you just throw a bunch of different guys
at
the Jets?
But is Revis going to be on him simply because, you know, he's
– we don't have a number one receiver.
Yeah, we don't have a number one wide receiver. So I think, you know, how we construct our game plan determines who's going to be up and who's not going to be up for this upcoming week.
Do you see any situation where the Browns would put all seven wide receivers on the active roster for a game, or is that just impossible?
I think it's impossible to have the proper depth at other positions. You talked about outside linebacker. The scare of offensive line.
Yeah, can you go into a game with only six offensive linemen?
Ugh, it's tough. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, because then you might have Jim Dre playing offensive
right,
line.
I mean,
you're going to lose if that happens. This is craziness, but I still think Terrell Pryor will be active week one. And I think
so. If he's active, then there's no way that Dwayne Bowe would be active.
Which would be crazy because you're paying the guy
Why do you say he'll be active week one?
Because I just – the way that I – that's just what I think. I just think he's going to have 4 to 5 carries out of that Wildcat thing. I think Pett is very adamant that throws a wrench in the defense. You have to prepare for that all week. I think that's why we saw him.
But the preparation doesn't matter.
There you go.
They won't find out if he's active or inactive.
Because Nathan's going to report it at 12:15, you know, I mean? Who's active and who's not.
That's a good point.
11:30. So that doesn't matter.
All right, so it's going to be him or Bowe. Who would you rather have? You know what? At this point, I'd rather have Pryor than Bowe active for that game. I think he can make a bigger impact.
Okay, you guys, we were all at practice. It's not like Dwayne Bowe was garbage at practice. Dwayne Bowe would look like, for a while before he hurt his hamstring, he looked like the number one receiver on the
Sean
team.
Sean Drawn looked like the best running back on the team at practice, too.
My point is Dwayne Bowe is a proven commodity in the National Football League, and it's not like all of a sudden he forgot how to play when he was hurt. He didn't look great in the game against the Bears, but I don't know how much effort he was giving. But there was a time when he was catching the football.
If we have to question this guy's effort, that's a problem.
I'm not questioning his effort. I just think it's a fourth preseason game for a veteran who probably doesn't care.
And my prediction with why I think Pryor would be inactive would probably just be because the thing he keeps telling us I don't think he's quite yet at that 100%. I think that could play into.
Yes,
I see him as a developmental project anyway. I think this was put on tape for the one game.
So how do you develop if you never play in a game though?
Practice.
Justin Gilbert.
Practice.
He's gonna run the scout team. He's gonna go against Kaywan, Joe Hayden, or Tremont Williams for 50 reps in practice.
That's fine. But if Bo does not produce the first month of the season, there's gonna be people like me saying, "All right, then I want to see Pryor."
But that goes hand in hand. If you're not seeing what you want out of Bo and Pryor's practicing well versus Hayden, Tremont, and Kaywan and winning, you go easy decision.
True.
Let's give that. That's the way a young guy earns that opportunity. You know, when you ball against the number one you know, when essentially you're trying to give them a look, quote unquote, and you're balling, catching everything, killing Hayden, killing Williams. That's the way the young unknown player that snuck on that roster.
That's what Scott Solomon
gets,
got active.
Gets active on this 45 for a game day. That's what Terrell Pryor's going to have
situations. And by the way, Dwayne Bowe last year, 5 catches, 81 yards against the New England Patriots and Darrell Revis.
It's just amazing, though, like what 5 or 6 plays in what everyone else perceives as a meaningless preseason game have now affected the game plans of pretty much every defense that the Browns face in while Pryor's
That's
on
why
team.
It was done. That's why I knew he was going to make the team, but I don't know that he's going to be up. They've got some interesting decisions. Again, they have an interesting decision when they bring your guy Sean Drone up, what they're going to do there, who's going to leave the 53-man roster on Saturday.
I mean, Crowell can't be on the field every play either if Duke Johnson is inactive. So
no.
So Drone would have to play, you know, 20% of the game.
Yeah, he's good. He'll definitely play. And that's why I think it's most likely to be him, because it's somebody that's got to come in and play.
And be familiar with the system and everything. Yeah. It's just I know running backs, that's probably one of the most plug-and-play positions in the league maybe, but it's still – that's asking a lot.
Hey, he's got the respect of Joe Thomas. That's all I got to say. Stumping for him in the locker room, Sean Drone.
Stumping for him. Yeah, and I'm sure – was that the highlight of your weekend?
We had a roster for projection thing, a bunch of us in the office. I won.
There you go.
So there was 12
even
people
without
involved.
Sean Drone.
I got 48 of the 53.
That's solid. Who did you miss on?
I had Kerry Spear, Vince Maley, Ish Kitch. I went on a flyer.
When did you do this?
We did it
before camp.
Yeah, start of camp. Okay.
Yeah, I went on with a flyer on Luke Lundy.
Luke.
You called him a legend at the
thought he could become. He never got healthy. I thought he was going to be a training camp legend.
There's one other guy.
It turned into Josh Lentz.
It did.
I want to ask you guys this.
Shane Winfrey.
Why is Josh Lentz not on another practice squad around the league?
Because the Cleveland Browns aren't the only team that doesn't think he can't play in the National Football League.
31 other
but
teams,
too. Here's a question, though. Is it hard? Because since most of the practice squad players are players that were with the team that they were with throughout training camp, is it hard for a guy to get on another team's practice squad after being with them for so long?
No.
It isn't? Okay.
The practice squad, more so than the active roster, that – 3 or 4 guys will cycle on and off that throughout the year based on the depth and the injury status of some of those bottom-tier players and backups on the active 53.
Here's what I would say. You watch Desmond Jennings, you watch Josh Lentz. Desmond Jennings seems capable of more big plays. He seems like a more explosive
athlete.
Darius Jennings seems like a more explosive athlete. So I think with a guy like Lentz, people see, this guy, he's such a hard worker. He's getting the most of everything he's got. There's really no development for Josh Lentz. There's no ceiling for him to get to. Whereas you could see with Jennings, you saw that on the kick return. He made a big play on the one kick return. You saw the big play from Johnny. So maybe there's something there. There's a speed combination that, you know, Lentz just doesn't have.
I'm happy Jennings is on the practice squad.
And remember Jared Aberderis from Wisconsin?
Yes.
Super productive collegiate receiver.
Yes.
But when you watched his collegiate tape, there was nowhere for him to get better. He was a precise route runner. He was maxed out. There wasn't improvement. And that's why he's a guy who just got cut from Green Bay. I just think you see there are certain traits that people look for. And I go back with Lentz. And again, I like Lentz. I wanted him on the practice squad. I never thought he was going to make the 53, but I would have been happy if he was on the practice squad. He was in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck, I'm sure, has enough call in Indianapolis that if he really was Wes Welker or somebody like that, Andrew Luck would say, this guy's staying on the team with me.
I don't think Andrew Luck's that kind of guy, but
I think a quarterback's going to say, I think this guy could be a stud. Like what Philip Rivers had a receiver that he loved, I'm pretty sure he would say, I want.
He's
guy.
A fiery guy. I don't think Andrew
and
Luck's that guy.
A percentage of weight in the decision making process.
Sure.
Hey, here's our inside kind of football question for like Matt. Like, why would a guy like Deron Grant with the Steelers, who got cut, I mean, as a 4th-round pick, why would he go back there after being cut like that?
He signed on the practice squad.
Yeah, he's
familiarity with
the Steelers.
Familiarity with the system.
But wouldn't you want a fresh start?
No, because he feels like he's already been given the opportunity to show them what he can do. If any team out of all 32 knows him best, it's the Steelers. So it's like, okay, I wasn't good enough to make their active 53, and essentially they have to cut him anyway and then ask everybody to, you know, sign back. So he's going to develop in their system, and in two years, he'll be based on their corner depth right now, which are young, you know, young inexperienced players in the defensive backfield. If he might be that guy that balls through 8 weeks on the scout team and on the practice squad, the right injury, he's one injury away from being a guy who's been in their system all offseason and through 8 weeks to be able to play on a Sunday.
He was the only other fourth-round pick cut this year. And if you look at, I think it's, you're also thinking about your easiest path to 53. Right. That's where you get a big bump up in money. So I think the Steelers' corners are probably the worst in the league right now, which says, you know, why couldn't you make it?
Yeah.
But he's there. They want him there. So he feels if he shows out, he's got an easier path. Yeah. Vince Mailey went to Dallas. Dallas has five active receivers on their roster.
So do you have to get over the frustration of seeing a big drop in week-to-week checks?
Oh, yeah. The team is it. Believe me, you do.
Oh, massive.
But it's the optimism that I'm one injury away from being on an active roster, getting that same paycheck again.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, being a fourth-round pick, he probably got $400,000.
Mm.
So he's got money in his pocket right now. It's the undrafted guys that got cut and then brought back on the practice squad. You know, they're living the dream, making, you know, $6,000 a week.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, they are. All right. What's the most important thing for this week going into the Jets game? What's the one thing that you guys are the most focused on for this Browns team to be able to go into New York and get a W?
The run defense. If
they got to stop Chris Ivory.
Yeah, if he's going to gash you for 84 yards or something like that and average more than 4.5 yards per carry, I mean, the questions are going to keep firing away. I mean, was this run defense fixed? I don't think that's going to happen, but if the Browns go out and shut down the Jets and make Ryan Fitzpatrick try and beat you over the top, you have the secondary to do that. So to me, that's the game plan. It's simple. You lay it on the table, try and run on us, and we're going to be better at that.
I'll stick with defense because I think this is a big defensive game. I think you got to get pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick and just rattle him. And I think that's where the question marks are right now at the outside linebacker position. What do you have in Mingo? Is Orchard going to play? So that's an area where I'll be watching a lot.
And I think we've got to come out. This offensive line needs to create holes for Isaiah Crowell, because if you can't run and all of a sudden you're dropping back and you're going with
Ball Hawks,
whoever it is,
Cromartie Revis
against Cromartie Revis
and Buster
as your slot, it's pretty good. We're not favored in any of those matchups.
There will be
a
lot of short passes this game, is my prediction
for
the Browns.
Chew it up.
Chew it up short in the game.
17-13.
Well, they are churning out a ton of content, getting you ready for week number one at ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew Gribble, you can follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. And, of course, Kevin Jones at Mr_Kevin Jones. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. We'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns as well, Mike Pettine, when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns.